All right, ladies and gentlemen, so much has been happening lately that I saw it fitting that we actually really do some overview of a lot of the information which we have already covered, but it highlights the focus, or I should say, put the focus on current affairs. And so we just want to, you know, touch on some things and then give us a brief overview of where things are and what is happening so that you can make sense out of what is, you know, or I should say what we are experiencing in our daily lives. Just want to begin by pointing out now, what is the good news? The gospel is referred to as the good news of the coming kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, it's good news that this hurt is not going to be left to the we used to have this word ragamuffin when we're growing up, the, you know, the low life, the folks who don't want to do right. It's not going to be left to them, nor to the gangsters, or even to the political elite. But Jesus Christ himself is coming back to earth to set up the kingdom of God, and he is going to reign and rule in such a way that everyone who experiences it is going to be blessed. Everyone. And that is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. In fact, that is what the whole hurt is supposed to be focusing on. The whole, the churches and so on. This is what they're supposed to be sharing. Now, I understand not everybody reads the Bible, not everybody has the, you know, background, but it is still the responsibility of the leaders to point these things out. So what we find then, ladies and gentlemen, is that God has chosen a group of people which we now call Israel. They are sometimes referred to as his chosen people. Well, why did he choose them? Because they were better than others? No. He chose them because he had a promise to their forefathers, Abraham, and he wanted to fulfill that promise. Just like if you have a contract or you have something, you know, collaborating with someone and then that person may die, but you passed on the blessing to their, you know, offspring. Well, it's the same way with Israel. They were the offspring of Abraham. So what we find is that those folks, as a matter of fact, they didn't behave themselves too. See, that's the problem with mankind. You know, we very rarely want to do what God says. And so as a result, God ended up sending them into captivity. So in the book of Daniel, the second chapter, I'm just jumping into the middle of what is going on. What you find is that this is the last remnant of his people from, you know, ancient Israel. Because the first 10 tribes really were taken captive. They call themselves Israel. They were taken captive by Assyria. Their modern day name is Germany. So they were taken captive by the Germans. But what we have now, ladies and gentlemen, is that Judah was taken captive by Babylon. And so in the book of Daniel, the second chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at the time, he had a dream. He saw this image. He couldn't figure out what it was. It disturbed him. And so, as a matter of fact, he issued a potential death penalty if the sorcerers and astrologers couldn't tell him what it meant. Nevertheless, God revealed it to Daniel. And so Daniel is pointing this out to Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel, the second chapter, and verse 44, I'm going to the end of it now, so I expect you then to go back and read this in your own time. Yes, all of chapter 2. But in verse 44, it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. So it's going to consume all the kingdoms around, and it shall stand forever. Well, what he means is that all the kingdoms on earth, all the governments, all the territories, all the countries, or you may say empires, all of them is going to be taken over by Jesus Christ. And when he establishes his government, it's going to be called the kingdom of God. See, a lot of folks don't get this. Some think they know, but my point is this, this is it. And so the God of heaven is going to set up that kingdom. Now, I'm telling you, this is good news, especially for those who are in areas where people are being abused or people are being taken advantage of. And so we're saying, hey, it's not going to always be that way. Jesus is coming back and he's going to straighten things out. And so that's the good news. Now, I want to go a little further and just jump into chapter 7, where God has established something and he's pointing out now another aspect of the same information. And so it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, that's verse 1 of Daniel chapter 7, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. In other words, he was lying down and he had a dream. Well, what did he dream? He says, in verse 10, Daniel spoke and he said, I saw in my vision by night four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. The great sea is referred to as the Mediterranean Sea. Now, there are some who try to point out that this means the Sea of Humanity. Well, that's not generally referred to as the Great Sea. The Mediterranean Sea, the large sea, as compared to the Sea of Galilee and so on. But anyway, verse 4 says, he saw four great beasts came up from the sea, different from another. The first was like a lion. He had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings were plucked, and it was lifted up and from the earth, and made to stand up on his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. And behold, another beast. So he saw four beasts. Here the first one was like a lion, the second one not a beast, the second like unto a bear. It raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth. So here it is, you have another beast. And notice, by the way, they are talking about animals now. What do you notice about countries nowadays? They represent their image usually by an animal. And of course, if we're like those in Jamaica, what's it now? The what? Crocodile? Or is it alligator? Okay. They look alike. But anyway, you get the idea. It's an animal. And so after that, this behold, and to another, like unto a leopard. So the third one was like a leopard. And he had four wings of a fowl and a beast. And he also had four heads. So the third one of four heads. And then the next one, and after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. And it had, it broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was different from all the others before it. And it had 10 horns. So notice now, you have four beasts. One of them had four heads. So that's a total of 6 heads so far. And then you have one more beast. So that's going to be a total of 7 heads. The fourth beast have 10 horns. Now, to summarize this so you get a clear picture, clear a picture of what is happening is this. The first beast, by the way, it tells us there, but I'm going to just, for the sake of time, point this out. The first beast represent Babylon, the nation of Babylon. Then the second one represent Media Persia. The third one represent Greece. And the fourth was the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire collapsed 36 AD, I forget the exact year, but it collapsed. And there have been several attempts to resurrect the Roman Empire. 9 of them have taken place so far. Now, this 10 horns represent the 10 different resurrections. So I'm saying to you, 9 have already taken place. Well, guess what? You have one remaining. The one that remains now is what we now refer to as the European Union. It's coming into existence, and it's going to be a dominant force. And by 2030, which is the time that you and I are living in, we expect Germany to be, if not equal to, it's going to surpass the United States in military capability. I mean, they're going to be that dominant. In fact, they have been talking about it in newspapers, and they're saying, will they get it right this time? Because Germany started World War One, they started World War Two, and so we expect them to start World War Three. And so the writer was asking, will they get it right this time? So everybody could see, what are they doing? They're building up the German machine. But I'm getting ahead of myself. What I'm pointing out here is this. That final resurrection is going to take place, which is going to be the final horn. Out of the 10, we only one remaining. And when that happens, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall not be left to other people. In other words, he's going to establish his kingdom of God. He's going to set it up on earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I know a lot of people talk about going to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches, but that's what they say. But I'm just trying to point it out so we understand where we are in the overall scheme of things. So what we are finding out then is that things are unfolding in such a way that very soon that final resurrection of the Roman Empire is going to take place. And it's going to have Germany again. Of course, the ancient name again is what? Assyria. They are going to be the dominant force. And a lot of folks are going to be caught off guard when they see this. Why is that? Because currently, we expect the United States, which is the dominant power, to last much longer. But America is no longer following God to the extent that she once did. And so, like every other nation that refuses to obey, after a while they're going to collapse. And so that's what you begin to see taking place right now. And so I am saying this to point out some basic things. One is that the United States is declining. Now we're going to look at the scripture in just a minute. And in addition, they're declining economically, and she's going to decline politically. And we can see this unfolding before the eyes of the world. Now, most people don't know how to interpret this. Why? Because they have not been listening or really reading the scriptures to see what the Bible says is going to happen. See, I'm not giving you my opinion. I don't have one. I have to accept what the Bible teaches. But you have the pundits that are on television, on the radio, on the internet, and so on. They can give you their opinion. And of course, a lot of them, because they have studied deeply, they assume that they are correct. If they don't tell you what's in the Bible, they're wrong. Because the Bible is correct. Plain and simple. So that's what we begin to see unfold before us right now. And we're going to cover this in just a minute. But one more thing before we take our break, ladies and gentlemen. I want to mention look at Ezekiel, the 38th chapter. This is something that is not talked about quite often. And so Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, a lot of folks may see things happening, hear Russia doing this and so on, doing that. And so they, really, again, give man's opinion as to what is taking place. But let's read something. I just wanted to go ahead and lay this foundation out there so you can see what I'm talking about. In Ezekiel 38, chapter verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto me. This is unto who? Ezekiel, the prophet, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Well, we don't call them Tubal today, and you don't call them, Meshech. You call them Moscow, and you call them Russia. And he's saying, talk up and set your face against the leader of wherever that is in Moscow, and say, thus says the Lord God, this is verse 3, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Well, really, the Ukrainians and the Russians, they're actual cousins. And it's talking about these same people here, but the chief among them is the one who is bent on resurrecting the Russian Empire. Most people don't know it because they don't read the script, the prophecies, so they can't tell. But I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen, and we can see it, and it's happening in our time. And so this man, even though they run around trying to form peace, I should say, establish peace agreement with him, oh no, he's not interested in peace. He wants an empire, and he's not going to stop until he gets it. And so God is prophesying against him and says, I will turn you back, verse 4, and put a hook into your jaw, and I'll bring you forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling and swords. And then he starts talking about these things. But what is he going to do? God is saying he's going to put a hook in his jaw. In other words, he's going to bring him under control. Now, it's unfortunate because we have a lot of leaders who believe that they can deal and negotiate with this man. They don't understand the spirit that is leading him. That's the problem. We look at individuals and we don't realize there's a spirit behind what they're doing. And in some case, not only leading them, but possessing them. In this case, I'm not going to say he's possessed, but he's being led by that spirit that is going to cause him now to try to resurrect the Russian Empire, and he's going to succeed in it. And God is saying, hey, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw and deal with you. Well, our leaders believe they can deal with him. They're wrong, and it's not going to work out that way. But we'll talk more about this at another time. But I just wanted us to touch on this so we can see what is happening. Because even though he's talking about he wants peace, there's not going to be any. Why? Because he doesn't want peace. He doesn't believe it. He has a different spirit leading him. Anyway, let me go ahead and open the floor at this point, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who have any questions, comments, and suggestions. Thank you so much.
I'm just thinking, you know, God has given us all these things in His Word to show us, as you mentioned, things that are coming to pass and how He wants us to be prepared, because He's not willing that anyone should perish, but everyone come to know Him and have eternal life. And these are things, you know, that happen as a result of sin, dating all the way back to Adam and Eve. And He's redeeming us, redeeming those who have a desire to repent, to spare us from these terrible events. And so He told us also to pray that we'd be kind of worthy to escape, and pray that He would send more laborers into the harvest. And different type of laborers go into different types of harvest, you know, different places around the world. And just like Paul traveled to different places where there was a lot of conflict, and He's prepared us for this season. We need His help and strength, and to be confident and to be bold to continue to do the things He called us to do in this season.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, He wants us to be bold, as you pointed out, and be confident. And again, this comes from hearing the Word of God, you know, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. In other words, proceed by living by the Word, or the Bible as we call it. And so what we find then is in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, there was a promise made where God, by the way, it applies to all of mankind, but it was given to the nation of Israel. Now, by extension, it comes to the church automatic, but really it is good for all of mankind if they would listen. And of course, the first 14 verses talk about the blessings that will happen to or fall on us and come to us if we will obey Him. And the remainder of the chapter talks about what is going to happen if we don't obey His word. Well, in verse 42, that's in the category where it's talking about where we won't listen to Him, it says in verse 42 of Deuteronomy 28, all thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. So in other words, you have a situation of eventual famine. By the way, these are gradual, but I'm just going towards the closer part of the end to show you exactly how it's going to turn out. In other words, there's going to be a shortage of food down the road, Not that some people won't have, but we won't have the abundance that is commonplace. Well, what do you know? The United States has been a major exporter of food. And so when they can't export, and you know, other nations, Canada also, England did it in the early days, not anymore. Australia, they do it. But when there's a shortage, what you're going to find is that the price is going up and people are going to be even more uncomfortable. You think they're uncomfortable now? Just wait until they start getting hungry. And so verse 44 says, and the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Well, what does that mean? It means folks who are from a different stock or different country, they're going to come into your territory. They're going to rise up high. You're not going to be as profitable. It's happening to a great extent in the United States, but it's not the only place. It's all over in Jamaica. All of a sudden, you find a lot of people who weren't from here originally. They come in and they are the ones holding the business, and they are the ones making most of the money. And the other people who grew up right here, they're getting the crumbs, so to speak. Well, if the folks had turned to God, the angels would guarantee that things would run smoothly so that they can prosper, but they won't do it. That's part of the problem right there. The folks won't do it. And so he's saying, no, this is what is going to happen. He's going to make sure. See, God is one who's allowing this to happen, you know. I know Mr. Trump is trying very hard to keep illegals out of the country, but God bless him, it's not going to work out because the people won't serve God like they should. So God is going to make other people come and pester them till they either come to God or it turn out to be real bad for everybody. And so in verse 44 he says, he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. What does that mean? You're going to run into financial trouble. But what do you know? The country is running a deficit now, going, 20 plus years? And it continues to get worse to the point now where it's getting out of hand. I mean, really out of hand. And so we see all these things now coming to pass. And he, in other words, the stranger, shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Of course, the head generally rules. And so what you see is happening, then these things are unfolding before us. Now, why does this matter to the people in the church? Because we are supposed to be preparing ourselves to lead or to share with others during these tough times that are coming. As Brother Thomas was pointing out, we are to pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape some of the destruction that is coming. But somebody has to be here to give the light, to shed some light and, you know, share the news. That's part of what we are doing. And so we continue to pray along the line. He said, moreover, verse 45 of Deuteronomy 28, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you listen not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he command you. Well, even the ministers are trying to tell you you don't have to. Or they were nailed to the cross. You won't find anything like that in the Bible. But my point is this, folks have been hoodwinked, and so here it is now. Most people don't even know. So they are going contrary to God. Verse 46. And they shall be upon you, that there's these things, for a sign, for a wonder, upon thy seed, in other words, your children, forever. Because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Do we have a lot now? Yes. Are the people really happy and blessing God and say, thank the Lord for giving us all these things? For the most part, they're not. They're doing a lot of crookish deals and stuff like that with it. But no, for the most part, they're not. They talk like it is our own ingenuity. And so he says, because we did not do it for the gladness of heart and for the abundance. All right? Verse 48. Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you. Is he going to send them? Yes. Who's going to send Germany against America? God is. and he shall send them against thee, and in thy hunger, and in thy thirst, and in thy nakedness, and in thy want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck, until you are destroyed. In other words, you won't be a viable nation anymore. Are they going to be harsh on us? Yes, they are. Well, where does Jamaica fall into it? Jamaica is right in there along with America. We get part of the blessings too. And a lot of folks are not understanding that. And so all these things are going to happen. So he continues in verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, and as swift as the eagle flight, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. They speak a different language. You know, some years ago I was making some notes, and I have, in fact, in my phone, on my things to do, in fact, I'm going to just read it the way it is and then tell you what it means, because the point is that you just stand there, it's going to be a different language. Well, here it is in, let's say, things to do. I have here, das ist das Leben. And that's German for this is the life. Das ist das Leben. Now, my point is, I chose something that was, you know, should say not scary, but, you know, inspiring to get us to begin to think. But my point is that they're going to come now and talk in their language. If you notice, they tend to speak English very well, plus they have their language too, and we're not going to be able to understand. They're going to be talking about us right before our face, and we won't know. But my point is this, that's what God says he's going to allow to happen. And he continues, a nation of fierce countenance, we shall not regard the persons of old, nor show favor to the young. And so the point is that they're going to treat even the older people. You generally show them respect. Well, that won't be the case. And, of course, the little ones, you tend to, you know, take care of them. Oh, no, they won't. They're going to rough them up just the same. Why? Because we no longer want to serve the Lord our God. When all these things are beginning to unfold before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen, all these things are beginning to happen. And so let's read just a little more. A nation of 51, and ye shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until you are destroyed, which thou hast not, also shall not leave thee any corn or wine or oil or increase of thy kine or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed you. In other words, they're going to come and take thee. Greater portion. Now notice verse 52, because we won't grasp it until our time, in our latter days. He says in verse 52, he shall besiege you in all thy gates until the high fenced walls come down. Now the gates there, generally, if you go back to Genesis 49, where it's first mentioned, it's talking about narrow strip of land generally used for navigation, like the Panama Canal or the Suez Canal or the Cape of Good Hope, where it is critical, a lot of traffic have to go there. Well, you know, the English-speaking people or the British people, Brit, Covenant-ish man, the British or the Covenant man people, they were given that as part of the blessings, but they have lost it now. That's no longer the case. You know, there's talk at some point we're going to end up losing all, surely, you know, access, or should say easy access to the Panama Canal. And so my point, though, is this. Why is all this happening? Because we're not serving God. And so all this now is beginning to come up on the people, us now during these times. He shall besiege you in all your gates until the high-fenced walls come down where you trust. And he shall besiege you in all thy gates throughout all thy land where your Lord your God had given you. And that's what's going to happen. We see that unfolding right before our eyes. And so we begin to see a lot of this talk about who's going to control, like the Panama Canal and there's another shipping, well, Greenland also, and the shipping base, you know, the Germany. There's talk now that Germany is going to team up with the United States to say, hey, listen, let us put up some defense for Greenland, and eventually, according to the prophecy, the Germans are going to turn on the Americans and, you know, back out, and of course, they're going to turn against us. We know that's for the direction in which it's going. Most people don't realize that yet, but that's what we see happening. Now, how can all this happen? Because we won't listen to the Lord. We won't listen. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, then we'll come back and just look at the scriptures. It says clearly telling us what is going to happen, because he made it clear in the scriptures, if you won't listen, then I'm going to break the pride of your power. Let's go ahead and open the floor now for anyone who have any questions, comments, and suggestions. Thank you.
You know, I was just thinking, when you said people won't listen, you know, in Amos it says God will send a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but a famine of hearing, and they will go to and fro searching for the word of God and shall not find it. As you mentioned, you know, people don't want to hear. Christ says, you know, the Pharisees, they had closed their ears, they had closed their eyes, so they would not hear, even when he came right among them. And the word was available for them, but they just didn't want to accept it. So we are at a time now where people just don't want to accept the way that God has chosen for us to live and to repent of their sins to receive the blessings that are mentioned there in Ezekiel 1 through 14, because he gives us tremendous blessings and protection through a lot of these things that are just ahead of us.
You're so right. You know, I was looking at it and I thought about it today. I went out to the market and I saw some folks. And some of the crops that they grow here so readily in Jamaica, it's so easy for folks, really, you could actually almost live off the land just like that. And yet, I hear a lot of people talking about how difficult it is, simply because they won't obey the voice of the Lord their God. They are not reaping those benefits. Here it is in Leviticus, the 26th chapter. God was speaking with those folks who originally received the blessing, the nation of Israel, notably the British, the Canadians, the English, the Australians, and so on, their forefathers. And it says in verse 19, all right, let's pick up verse 18. If you will not yet for all this listen unto me, then I'll punish you seven times more for your sins. The times there is referring to the number of total number of years, and that's why the blessings was suspended. And the nations went through a period of time we generally refer to as the Dark Ages. Well, before that, there was light, but then darkness came upon the land. And so ignorance abounds and flourished. And, of course, the people did not prosper until the time came where God lifted the curse so that the light would flow. And then we start calling it the Enlightenment period of time. See, that is how that came about. Now, folks thought they were studying and becoming more knowledgeable. It is true they studied. But the point was, this was done because of what the spirit realm was doing, where they allow us now to come out from under that curse. And so in a few years, America became the dominant power. The British had an empire that the sun did not set on it. It was all over the world. And of course, after a while, they tend to lose it. And America now is losing what she has. But look at verse 19, he says. He says, I will break the pride of your power. Are we a dominant nation now militarily? Yes. Just run down there, took his leader out of his country the other day. Have him up in jail now. Well, other folks are going to do the same thing to us down the road. He says he's going to break the pride of our power, and I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. When there is no rain, there's poor little water, your heaven is going to be like it is iron. No rain can come down from it. The earth is going to be as tough as brass or metal, so you can't plow it. It won't grow anything. It needs water. And so that's part of the punishment that is slowly coming up in the land. Now, we have folks running around talking about climate change. Yes, there is some climate change. That's true. But the real problem is that people won't repent. They won't turn from their ways and, you know, be the voice of the Lord your God. So you see this unfolding right before us. So we need to point this thing out, ladies and gentlemen, so that the folks, the average person, can understand what is going on. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 and pick up a verse. I want to just bring something out quickly. All right, verse 27 says, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, and whereof thou cannot be healed." So in other words, there's some sickness going to come. And verse 29 says, verse 28 says, "And you shall," let's see, make sure I'm going to 20. And you shall grope at noonday, and as blind as the blind grope in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So you're going to see all this, ladies and gentlemen, is coming up on the people because we won't obey the voice of the Lord our God. Let's go back to verse 28 again. "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." I was talking to my brother today, and he was saying, you know, he's been asking the question, why are people behaving like they do? Somebody just run to the store to buy something, they pay for it, and just run off and leave it. Sometimes, he said, you know, you wait 3-4 days, they might come back and say, "Did I leave this here?" Only one item. They come in there and they bite and they're gone. And my point is, this is what he's talking about here, the madness that is coming upon the people. And we're beginning to see this now in this society unfolding right before us because they won't serve the Lord their God. All this is happening. And much more is going to happen, by the way. These, in fact, compared to what's coming, these are the good old days. And so we see these things unfolding before us, ladies and gentlemen. And so my point then again is this. All this is happening. No. What's the timeline? Well, let's take a look. I don't want to set time. But some things are happening this year, 2026, that it is necessary that the church take note and prepare. Just came to my attention last week that China, with under the organization, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, they have given instructions to their traders, they have people who manage these things for them, to, you know, divest themselves of all the holdings that they have in the United States. Now, what is that? What is the purpose of that? Well, remember now, we use that to finance our budget deficit. Well, if they don't buy the deficit, in other words, they lend us money to pay our bills, then we're going to run into trouble. We're going to end up having to print it. What happens when you print it? Then inflation increases. And so what we see then is that these things now are beginning to happen. And of course, it is detrimental, because if you go back and look at the history of the great empires, I remember studying this in grade 8, where the Romans, part of what they did when the empire was coming into the latter days, they would start to cut off a little piece of the coin that they would give to pay people with. They paid them, you know, like silver and so on, and they paid them, and then they just cut off a little piece. Then they cut off some more. And of course, the points, after a while, then they can't use silver anymore. They use bronze and copper and things like that, until after a while, folks wouldn't accept it. And of course, eventually, the empire collapsed. Well, the British, you know, were printing, and they went through a similar system. And shortly after World War II, in fact, if you go back and look at the record, I just checked it a few days ago, 1967 is when Britain really came to the realization that they were broke, and of course, serious inflation set in England. Well, America is at that door. And from the current projection, we may see some of this taking place this coming November. Now, it's not a set date, that's just my calculation. people can behave, you know, and change, modification, and so on over time. So we don't know the exact date, but that is the pattern that is going to happen. And we see this happening right before us. Now, the part of what we use to maintain the status quo is that the international payment system, which is generally referred to as SWIFT, that's with the acronyms, I need to look at that. I see what it actually means, each letter, but SWIFT, SWIFT, you can look it up on the internet, the SWIFT system, and it is used to manage trade internationally. It's really a, what do you call it, information messaging system. But the point is this, if a bank in Brazil wants to do business in, say, London, well, they have to go through SWIFT, and of course, the point is that they have to use, again, the American dollar. If somebody in Bolivia wants to do business with somebody in Japan, again, they use the American dollar. They use that SWIFT system. Now, what we find is that, as a result, then, we can punish other nations just to like, hey, you can't use the system if you don't obey or abide by our rule. Well, what is happening is that the BRICS nation, now that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and then you have other nations that joined up with them, but those are the founding nations. They're setting up a similar system behind the scene. And so what is happening now is that they are backing what they do with gold. So the end result is that we have an alternate system. So you ever wonder why they, you know, in the past, they would just say, all right, listen, folks, you know, we're going to ask this man to step down, like Maduro, the president of Venezuela, but he wouldn't do it. Why? Because there's an alternate system. And so he has what's going on for years. Now, the example of this alternate system in operation is, even though we pass all these sanctions against Russia, yes, there's some effect, but they're still coping, they're still going along. And from the looks of things, they can go on for another 8-9 years or even more. That is because of this system that had the counter system that is developed. Well, guess what? That system now is going to be used much more widely. And where we now in the West are going to feel the effects of other folks not using our system as much. And then we're going to start having inflation. So you're beginning to see that. Now, it may sound a little strange to the average person, but in the United States, you know, you can buy a loaf of bread. How much are they now? A dollar something, a little over a dollar. But what happens when you have to go, in 6 months and then you buy one for $50? Then you're going to begin to see it makes a difference. Now, I remember the days we used to buy bread in Jamaica, not taking on Jamaica, but I used to buy breads for, 15 cents. Now I bought one the other day for $520. And it appears of that was a bargain. But I'm just trying to show you how this whole system is changing. And so what we're beginning to see is this thing unfolding before our eyes. And so you and I then, ladies and gentlemen, ought to be mindful of the fact that this is going to unfold before us. So we're going to take a break, but I'm going to come back and summarize it because my point is this. The people in the church need to make note of this, serious note, and start to implement or start building or creating a plan of action so that we won't be caught off guard. Because it's not a matter of if this can happen. It is going to happen. And it is moving very rapidly. And it appears as if a lot of people are going to be caught off guard. I want to make sure at least we're going to do our best to anyone who will listen to us to be aware so we won't be caught in this. You know, Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. But again, as I was pointing out, because of hardness of heart and willingness to obey, folks are not receiving it. So we want to go ahead and share this light so at least the people in the church can be prepared and then we can help out when times get really tough. I'm going to open the floor now, please. No problem. Let's press on. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, sir. Did I hear a comment?
Oh, I do have a comment. I just want to say... you know, you said a comment, you know, it's not that if this happens, but when it happens. You know, we stress about how life goes and what goes on in the world, but we never take the time to actually plan. So, you know, number one rule or rule of thumb when it comes to livelihood, you should always have a plan or a plan B, or in other words, a backup plan. So it's good to always be sharpened by, you know, God's word, and also, you know, come together and try to find out a strategic plan on how to be industrious and wise.
Yes, you know, I've been thinking about it this week, and so when I come back to the States, we'll talk, you and I, and Mr. Thomas and myself and others, we will talk about, because I'm thinking that we could have some, you know, it doesn't have to be extremely formal, but some, you know, workshops, something like that, where we can help share this kind of information, because the average person is going to be a little shaken. But if we are prepared and we see it happening before us, you know, God gives us, you know, the prophecies for knowledge of what is to come, so we see that. And so my point, though, is that since God is with us, He will allow us to plan strategically, and we can share and sharpen each other. So we'll talk a little about that and set up some workshops. I've been thinking about it for some time, but we should at least have, you know, one or two per year, and we go along a lot the line, and of course we do more if we need to. But we're gonna address that, because you're correct, it is needed. Yes, okay. All right, so what we want to find out then, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear a lot more about the BRICS currency and their payment system. I think it's called BRICS Pay. And it's very similar to SWIFT, which is what we use generally in the West. You know, it is very convenient. I have my American debit card. I took money out of the bank. In fact, I went into a bank today and I drew some money out. I could get it in American dollars. I can get it in Jamaican dollars if I want. And it is that easy. I mean, in a split second, I just walk in here, just like I'm up in Atlanta, and it comes out. Well, why? Because that SWIFT system is in place. And if I was up in Canada, I would expect it to work the same way, because I've done that before and it worked the same way. But you get the idea, that system is in place. Well, no, that system is being challenged worldwide by the one set up by BRICS. And so we're going to see a lot of, disruption taking place very soon. And then the other challenge we see unfolding is the inflationary effect of the systems that are in place. Where we have to print money, so because nobody is buying our debt, and all you have to do is look at the news, you begin to see when they have these auction at clearinghouse, sometimes none of the foreign countries are turning up. That has happened several times the past 6 weeks that I'm aware of. Nobody comes to buy. You know, we need to sell 200 billion a week, and if nobody buys, then we are going to be in trouble. What happens that the Federal Reserve prints at that time, and so that creates inflation. In other words, you're just printing money. Well, another way to describe that is if when you want to go to the store, you get a piece of paper and you just write down $100 on it, and if they would accept that as if it is real money, then after a while you wouldn't even have to work, would you? You just go write them some money. Well, that's technically speaking what nations are doing now. And, you know, I think that should bring it home, so we're beginning to see how it is working. But my point again is that these things are unfolding before us, and so you and I then need to be mindful of this. Now, what can we do during these times? As we was pointed out, well, we can talk with each other. But, you know, for years the church have been saying to the brethren, be prepared to lower your standard of living. Be prepared to lower your standard of living. Well, that means that everybody should, you know, in terms of setting up your budget, look to see how things are, you know, what it costs, and then be prepared to do without, or perhaps you could even, as they say, stretch your budget a little further, do that kind of operation. But my point is that we won't be able to spend and do like we did in the past. Why? Because For one thing, the prices of things are going to change rapidly. And, you know, folks have been talking about it all year, about inflation. Well, this is easy compared to what's coming. But my point is that we all need to be prepared. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter, verse 23, tells us, you know the state of your flock. So you and I now need to know the state of our flock and plan accordingly. Well, that's one way. Secondly, now we be prepared to do our part in sharing the good news. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 16 says, let our light so shine that men may see, you know, the really the good work that God is doing in us. But we're going to let our light shine. And by the way, I've decided, you know, today, I've been going through my mind for some time, but today I was saying to myself, you know, whenever folks start to bring up all the negative and so on, I'm going to say, well, now, listen, that is happening, but what are you doing to let your light shine? Or how else can you let your light shine? So that's the question I think we need to ask ourselves a little bit more often. And it goes on along that line, you know, but the point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's a lot that you and I can do to prepare. In addition, we're doing our own studies, as Brother Thomas was pointing out. There's going to be a famine in the Word, so you won't have folks being able to preach and teach as readily as we do now. Look at this. I sat right here in this same chair, and I was talking to the folks over in Africa a couple of days ago. And also in Montgomery, I talked to them, you know, well, not at the same time, but my point is that I could actually reach them that easy. Well, those days are coming to a close, ladies and gentlemen. And so my point again is that we need to be prepared to read our scriptures, stay abreast. And as Brother Thomas was pointing out, Luke 21:36 says, you know, pray that you may be accounted worthy. Well, if you don't know what is coming or if you don't believe it, you're not going to pray about it. You're not going to be prepared. You're going to be caught. We don't want that to happen. We want everyone to be blessed. We want God's best for you. So that's another reason why we're studying these things. And they go on, you know. We pray with our family, relatives, and so on. You know, we see a lot of folks coming under attack in their body and so on lately. They need healing. Well, we're going to pray for them and with them. And we're doing things of that nature. So I am saying, you know, just make up your own list of the things that you want to do. We know fully well what our assignment is, or at least we should know. And if you don't know, then start seeking the Lord so you can find out. But my point is that we have this, you know, our assignment, and make sure then we are doing our part. And I guarantee you, you do that, when Jesus comes, you're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so the point here again, ladies and gentlemen, is that all these events are unfolding before us. We are not going to be caught off guard. Neither are we going to allow, you know, others to hoodwink us, but we'll do our part. And of course, we're going to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But my point is that we're going to do our part. And so we're going to continue to proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom of God until Jesus returns. Again, you know, you and I have this privilege. And so what I want to just encourage us to begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, is that, hey, listen, it's unfolding before us. Therefore, we should prepare. You know, that's the idea. We are going to prepare to do our part. So I want to go ahead and open the floor at this point for a final comment or questions from anyone. And then, Brother Justin, when you're finished, sir, can you close in prayer?
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again for waking us up each and every day, Heavenly Father, and striving on this prudent pathway that you laid out for us. Thank you for bringing us home safe from our work and from our travels, and we're just looking forward to just have a better plan, Heavenly Father, a better mindset, Heavenly Father, and a better approach on how to be a light and to be a representation of your kingdom, Heavenly Father. We pray and ask that we grow more in knowledge and grow more in power so we be able to lay the message to others and to be able to lay hands on those who need healing and who need inspiration, Heavenly Father. So we thank you once again for this rest day, and we pray as that you sharpen our minds and help us to understand not only more about your word, but how can we be better in fellowship? How can we be once again better in representation of your kingdom, Heavenly Father? For we all make mistakes sometimes, not all the time, but we all can do better, Heavenly Father. So I just pray to help us to understand, you know, the things that we need to strengthen and things that we need to let go, Heavenly Father, so we can be pleasing to your eyes. Pray that you help us to manage our time wisely, manage our resources that you bless us with, and be able to have better sleep, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen.